Please take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. You know, it's been said before, and no doubt it will be said again many times from this tremendous teaching platform, that it is a wonderful privilege and an honor to be able to be here and to speak from this platform. But you know, I'm thinking tonight that it is a special privilege and a special honor because I have the opportunity to share the Word of God for a few minutes with the most wonderful people on the face of the earth. And you know it's true. The people who come to the Way headquarters every Sunday night, the people who hear the teachings by means of our tape ministry, are the most wonderful people on the face of the earth. And that's because they are sons of God, children of the highest. When a man has a privilege like this, he ought to search his mind and he ought to search his heart and do the best that he can to share that key or that concept or that idea from the Word of God that in the last few days or weeks has most thrilled him, has most lifted and inspired him. And so that's what I would like to do tonight. I would like to talk about the possibilities of love. You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, "And a highway shall be there, and a what? A way. And it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." All of my life I have been a wayfaring man. Perhaps you can fit yourself into that same category. From perhaps junior high school or high school, and leading on through college and my experiences in business in Pennsylvania, and going to California to find something better, and all of the experiences I had in California, I have been a man on a journey, and I believe you have too, whether you're a man or a woman. You have been an individual on a journey. You've been looking for something. You've been looking for a quality of life that would lift you above the mundane reality of everyday existence, above the negatives, above the cop-outs you see in people's lives, above all the defeat, all of the stuff we read in the newspapers and see on TV, some kind of quality of life that would lift you above all of that and allow you to see through new eyes. Well, I've been that kind of a man. And every turn that I took in the highway, every new experience that I had in my life, every person that I met, I looked in that experience for the possibilities of love. Wasn't looking for a Chinese restaurant, as some people used to think. I was looking for the possibilities of love. And throughout all the business experience I had and the people that I met and so on, pretty soon I came to the end of my rope. Perhaps you know what I'm talking about. You get to that point where you're just about exhausted. You experience certain kinds of love in your life. The love of the family, romances that you get involved with, a love maybe for the business that you're in. Something to turn you on, something to keep you going, something to lift you above the negatives of the world. And pretty soon I got to the end of my rope and I was just about exhausted until I was witnessed to by a person who had a new kind of love in his life. And I heard that word of God and I believed that word of God and my eyes were opened. And for the first time in my life, I saw the possibilities of a new kind of love on a wider, higher, deeper, greater dimension that I had ever seen before. And I'd like to talk about some of those possibilities tonight. Let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to take a look at three basic possibilities of love. And see what the Word of God has to say about him. 2 Samuel chapter 1, reading in verse 25, where King David is writing here, and he says, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places." Verse 26, "I am distressed for thee. My brother Jonathan, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." You know, in the Old Testament, there was one word that God uses for love. In every category, whether it's brotherly love, whether it's the love spoken of in the marriage relationship, whether it's man's love of God or of his word, there's only one word that is used throughout the Old Testament, and that word is Ahaba, A-H-A-B-A-H. That's the Hebrew word, that's the noun. The verb form is aheb, A-H-E-B, means to love. This is the one word that is used throughout the Old Testament talking about love, and the reason is because there was only one kind of love available back there in the old days. It was a love that dealt with the ways of man. Jehovah, in his covenant with God's people, condescending to work in their lives, and there's only one kind of love spoken of in the Old Testament. You know, back in those old days, this love that's spoken about here in 2 Samuel between David and Jonathan, that was perhaps an unknown love up until that time, a very rare love between two brothers of the Spirit, two battlers, two warriors, two men who sought the very best out of life. And they were able, in their affection and in their friendship, to reach a level of accord and of unity of spirit, talking about life, not talking about God's spirit, that perhaps few people had ever reached before. But I'd like you to consider this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. There was something much more wonderful available to God's people today than that brotherly love, that friendship that is spoken of in the Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, this word for love is the Greek word phileo, unfeigned love of the brethren. It's talking about brotherly love. But it is the word phileo, and it parallels with that Old Testament word ahaba, or aheb in the verb form. It is talking about love in the category of man's ways on the plane of humanity. Unfeigned love of the brethren. Look at the second verse there. Let's continue in verse 22. Unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. How? Now the word there for love is a different word. It's not phileo. It's the word agapeo. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides. How long? You see, something that was not available in the Old Testament, we have available to us today. It's a new kind of love. The possibilities of seeing through new eyes that the Old Testament believers could not see through, of living life on a new plane, a new dimension, a new reality, a new kind of love. See that we love one another with a pure heart fervent. It is possible to understand that same kind of affection and love that David and Jonathan had for one another as brothers, as children of God, children of Israel. It is possible to understand that and to live even on a higher plane and a higher dimension, and to cultivate friendships within the body of Christ that are richer and deeper than even David and Jonathan knew. That is one possibility that I think we ought to consider as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. There is another possibility that we should consider, I believe. Please turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, verse 15. You know, whenever I, from time to time, you know, you can't always live on the mountain peak. You can't always stay up there. And whenever I've drifted into the valley of human need, it's always because I have failed to consider the miracle of the love of God in my life. I failed to see through the eyes of love. I have failed to live on that new dimension of love that God has made available to us. In Genesis 29, verse 15, Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee, Laban, 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. Those 7 years that Jacob worked for Laban seemed but a dream. They passed as if it were a dream because of the love that he had for that woman. You know, when you see through the eyes of love, your life is almost like a dream. You don't see the negatives. The days pass by as an eagle flying in the air. You don't see the negatives. You don't get down because you are looking through the eyes of love. And every possibility, every dimension of love is a miracle when you stop to think about it. This is one kind of miracle. You know, Jacob loved Rachel very, very much. He really loved her. There are wonderful stories about Jacob and that wonderful incident back there. But I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and consider this. That word love back there in the Old Testament in Genesis 29, again, the only word for love throughout the Old Testament, ahaba. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or reverence of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And by the way, the word for love throughout this whole chapter here is the word agapeo, meaning spiritual love. Love on the divine level, a new kind of love. Verse 26, talking about Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, for what cause? The whole context of the chapter is the mystery of the one body, right? We're talking about the mystery of the one body that we're all a part of. For this cause, that the mystery might live, that the word of God might move out to bless people, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They shall team up as one. In the eyes of God they shall be one. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And in the concept of this chapter, people, that word, great, that phrase, great mystery, turns me on. I believe that very few couples, very few married people throughout recorded history have ever really known what the greatness of a marriage can be. Jacob loved Rachel, really loved her with all his heart and all his soul, with the best that he had within him. But it is possible in the marriage relationship, when a man and woman decide to go together and make it one in the sight of God, to live a life that is so rich, that is so fulfilling, that is so wonderful, on a new dimension of love that few people have ever tapped into. That's a possibility of love that I look forward to very, very much, and I intend to claim it and make it my own. The same way that I intend to claim that possibility of friendship within the body of Christ and to develop that kind of accord and affection with men and women who are my spiritual brothers on a new plane of living love that the world has not seen, perhaps since the first century. And I believe it never really got off the ground back then. Another possibility of love we need to consider is in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, it's a pretty good book, Genesis. Have you ever read that all the way through? Great, great stories in that book. Genesis 22 and verse 2. And he, God, said unto Abraham, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou what? Do you think Abraham loved his son Isaac? He waited 99 years for him to come. That's right. He prayed on his hands and his knees that he might have a son, that Sarah might give birth. Isaac was the joy of their life. He was his only son, and God said, take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And you know that record where God was proving Abraham that Abraham was willing to give up everything in order to serve God. And of course, in God's mercy and grace, he didn't have to give up Isaac. But Abraham certainly loved his son. They loved their sons back there in the Old Testament. But look at Ephesians chapter 6. Talking about a new kind of love and another possibility of living love greater than the Old Testament people could ever imagine, greater than the world has ever known. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the word love is not used in there, but we know what it's talking about. When a man or a woman are born again of the Spirit of God, and they have the blessing of children, and they have sons and daughters, it is available, when it was not available back in the Old Testament, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to get them born again of the Spirit of God, to teach them how to renew their minds, to teach them how to speak in tongues, to teach them that they are more than conquerors in every situation, and to enjoy a fellowship of father and son love, or mother and daughter love, etc., on a new level of living and of enjoyment that the world has never seen. This is another possibility of love, another possibility of living life more than abundant. You know, Jesus Christ prayed for us about love. Please look at John chapter 17, Gospel of John chapter 17. The Lord Jesus Christ sure understood a lot of things and sure felt a lot of things. You know, he was the master at living love. He never broke fellowship. He always walked in perfect alignment and harmony with his Father in heaven. He was the master at living love. And when he prayed for his people, he got answers. Gospel of John, chapter 17. I bet you got there before I did. John, chapter 17, verse 25. Jesus Christ, in one of his most celebrated prayers, he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love, the agapeo love, wherefore, wherewith thou hast loved me, may be where? In them. That the same love that Jesus Christ enjoyed in perfect alignment and harmony with his heavenly Father may be in the people that he's praying for. And he's praying for his apostles and for all believers to come. And I in them. Next week is the day of Pentecost. We celebrate Pentecost in this ministry as the birthday of the church, as perhaps the most exalted holiday, if you want to take a moment and give a special remembrance to a special day. It's more important, really, than Easter. It's more important than Christmas. It is the birthday of the church. And the reason that it is so important, people, is because it became Christ's prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. He said that the same love that I have enjoyed with my Heavenly Father may be in these people who believe, and that they may be able to see through new eyes and live on a new dimension of love that people were never able to enjoy heretofore. The agapeo love that I'm talking about was not available in the Old Testament. It is available only to the born-again believer. We have been enabled to live this love. Because we have the Spirit of God in Christ in us, we have been lifted out of the world, and we have been given new eyes to see this new dimension of love. That was Christ's prayer answered on the day of Pentecost. And ever since that day, this kind of love has been available. How do we do it? Of course, we always have to go back to a question like that. How do you live that kind of love? Our people have been teaching two fundamental keys throughout the ministry in the last few weeks. One thing you've got to do is you've got to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you got to speak in tongues like a house of fire. You've got to build up the Spirit of Christ within you, and you have to renew your mind to the living Word of God. And when those two blend, that's the first core principle. To develop an in-depth spiritual awareness. That's seeing through the eyes of love. That's living love on a new dimension and on a new plane. Look at 2 John chapter 6. Wonderful verses about living love in 1 and 2 John. We're going to jump back to 1 John in just a moment, but in 2 John verse 6, there's only one chapter to the whole book, and this is love. This is love. That's what God says in this verse, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, beginning referring back to the day of Pentecost, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This is love, that we obey God's commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is what? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or payment in full for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. His love is consummated in us. This word perfected is the word in the Greek, consummated. It is perfected. It is brought to a full completion. It is fulfilled. That's what that word means. God's love is perfected in us as we love one another. We're talking about wholeness. As we love one another, as we give of our lives and our souls to the outreach of God's Word, as we see through this new dimension of love with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, in the marriage relationship, with our children, with our sons and with our daughters, God's love is perfected in us. You know, it's a lot easier to get your needs met when you're living love. Many times we strive, we grit our teeth, we really work at trying to get our needs met, whether it's financial deliverance we need, our healing, physical deliverance, emotional or mental deliverance that we need. We're always looking at the task. We're always looking at the need that we have and trying to apprehend it for ourselves. But there is one key that will bring to pass every healing and deliverance that we need in our lives, and that is by practicing the presence of God's love in our life. And boy, we do that. That is the key that absolutely transcends all other keys in the Word of God. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, agapeo, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt what? That thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law is fulfilled. All of the Ten Commandments, all of the Old Testament examples that have been given to us for our learning, all of this is fulfilled in the law of love. The law of love in Christ Jesus is the one key that transcends every other key to living life that is more than abundant. When you live love, you get answers in your life. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. A new commandment. This is the new commandment for this administration. A new commandment. It is not new in kind. It is not wholly different from anything that has been taught before, but it is new in quality. Reverend Cummins does a wonderful teaching on the word new. This word is the Greek word kainos. It means new in quality, talking about a new dimension of living love, a new commandment, new in quality, something that transcends all the other commandments, the law of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, you can't talk about love without at least mentioning this chapter. And we don't have time to go through the whole chapter tonight, but we do have a moment here to just take a look at a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, agapeo, if I have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all believing, so that I could move mountains, but I have not the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation, I have nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, so what if we speak in tongues? So what if we can move mountains? So what if we have prophecy? If we don't have the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation in every dimension of our living, all of these things profit us nothing. Love is the new law to the church. Look at John 3:16. You already know we don't have to look at that. Well, yeah, we ought to take a look at it because there are a couple things I want to point out. You already know what it is. You memorized it, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dr. Werwolf shared some wonderful keys just a few weeks ago from this verse when he said that God is the greatest lover. He so loved the world, the greatest number, that he gave his only begotten Son, and this was the greatest sacrifice, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believes in him should not perish, the greatest gift, but have everlasting life. Or should not perish is the greatest deliverance, but have everlasting life, the greatest gift. Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, verse 15, he said, greater love hath no man that he should lay down his life for the brethren. He did that literally, that you and I don't have to do it. That you and I may live the life that is in God's word, that we may abide on the level of a new dimension of living love that the world heretofore has never seen. Look at 1 John chapter 3. It's an absolutely electrifying way of life when you consider the possibilities of love as a son of God in every relationship, in every dimension of your life. And when you see through the eyes of love, boy, all the negatives just drift away. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have set before us that holy highway that Isaiah talked about in chapter 35, verse 5. We have that holy highway of living love set before us. We are God's wayfaring men, and all of our lives we've been on a journey to find this quality of living that transcends everything else and makes our lives worth living, that absolutely makes our lives to shine. We can enjoy that in a richer, wider, brighter, clearer, bluer, greater dimension that people have ever known before. And we are on that journey home when we will see our Lord and our Savior face to face and be transfigured with a new body and a new way of seeing and a new way of loving. And then, people, we shall know something about love. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word that continues to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. that continues, Father, to lift us out of this world and enables us to live love with this new dimension of living that people are looking for and have hungered for all their days. Thank you, Father, that we have the answer, that we have been enabled and that we can live this love and turn to your word and to be able to see through these eyes of love and to enjoy this miracle of love that you have given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.